The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. Once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about what's called the sovereign mindset, really unlocking your divine potential, being everything you could possibly be and want to be. Our special guest is Jeremy E. McDonald, and we're going to get into a conversation with him in a few moments here. But let me ask you this. How does embracing self-worth change the way we show up in relationships, careers, and everyday life? Well, that's one of the questions we're going to ask today and see if we can find some answers when we talk to Jeremy. Jeremy has gone through his own trials and tribulations in his personal life, went from a business background, and he still works with some corporations in terms of corporate training, but now he's on the metaphysical path as a teacher and a writer, and he has a lot of powerful stories, a lot of spiritual insights, and a lot of practical tools that he's going to share with us today to help us awaken to our true selves beyond the noise of, you know, the ego and external expectations, teaching us how to heal from past wounds by embracing grace, self-awareness, and authentic boundaries, recognizing and dissolving hidden mental programs that undermine our worth, aligning with divine order and the universal laws of creation, and stepping into our sovereignty where body, mind, and spirit can harmonize as one. He's written this book, The Sovereign Mindset, and it's all about, it's a guide, and it's also a companion that encourages the readers to reflect deeply, listen to their souls, and take inspired action, whether that means navigating a dark night or your shadow self, the dark night of the soul, or your shadow self, seeking greater peace, or just being ready to manifest your highest potential. All here on Guys Guys Radio. I think you're really going to enjoy my conversation with Jeremy E. McDonald on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to bring on a new guest. His name is Jeremy McDonald. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Jeremy E. McDonald, mindset mastery coach, quantum healer, Reiki master, best-selling author with over 25 years of experience bridging the corporate and spiritual worlds, executive producer of large-scale metaphysical events, including Spirit Heart Cruise and the Inner Temple Symposium, host of Mystic Dialogue on Ethereal TV. Jeremy inspires audiences around the world to unlock their divine potential, blending practical strategies with spiritual wisdom, helping people release deep-seated blocks, align with their soul, and step fully into their authentic selves. And today we're going to talk about his new book. It's called The Sovereign Mindset, Unlocking Your Divine Potential. Welcome for the first time to Guys Guys Radio, Jeremy E. McDonald.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me here on the show. And it's glad to finally meet you because I've known about you for several years and really appreciate being here.
Well, I hope it's not notorious. I hope it's a good thing.
No, it's all been good.
But thanks for being here. So let's talk about this new book. You wrote another book called Peace Be Still. It was very, very, very positive response to that. Sold a lot of copies, and it's taking a little bit of time, as it can, to come up with your new book, The Sovereign Mindset. And you kind of talk about that process, what happened over the last couple of years to get you to the new book. So tell us a little bit about Peace Be Still, and also leading up to the new one, The Sovereign Mindset.
Yeah, Robert, thanks for asking that up. Peace Be Still was my path to how I found peace and, started changing. You know how you change your viewpoint of the world, I guess, in a sense of awakening moment. And then it took me roughly about 13 years because right at the time that I was finishing up writing that book, my mother had transitioned to the other side. So, 13 years of growing and learning and also going through the grieving process and everything else. And so then finally one day, just like Peace Be Still, the book just started coming out for the Sovereign Mindset. And so really what the Sovereign Mindset was about is me looking at the world and seeing these things that happen. We all can relate to it. We have those moments, we get that moment of clarity, and then the universe just happens to feel like it's just working in your favor. And I thought, what is this that keeps on happening? I mean, I knew about the law of attraction and all those kind of things, but I had the question of why does it work? It seemed to work sometimes, and sometimes it's just like really in flow with us. I knew what, people would say, you have to be a vibrational match and all that other kind of stuff. But those were like thoughts in the head. Like I wanted to understand it on a deeper level. And so the Sovereign Mindset was me just processing and looking at why it is for my life and my clients' lives that I see these moments of clarity. And when God just happened to put his finger on you and it just happened to be working. And so really what it was about is when your energy aligns with that higher aspects of yourself and you're working in flow with your soul. And so when I started processing in those moments that I had, that's exactly what was happening. It was enough was enough, and it just I was had a moment of clarity. There was no what I call in the book wishy-washy energy. No, I knew this is exactly what I wanted, and that's when everything started to flow. And that's what I the premise of the book, but it's really about finding that inner healing to where you start digging deeper into yourself to asking your question why. Do I have these moments when it doesn't work as much? And it's because usually I'm out of balance and I'm out of alignment with and not working having that marriage, so to speak, with our soul.
You know, it seems like so many people are out of balance, and a lot of it, I think all of us are on the receiving end of so much noise that is not very balancing noise. The only balance is you're either this or you're that. And I'm seeing people actually losing friendships based on political points of view now, which I've never seen before, but it is happening now. And it's sad. So before we do that deep dive into like what's wrong with ourselves, how can people manage kind of what's coming at them so they can be able to be in a place where they can do the work on themselves?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good question because I've lost friendships myself. And so it's one of those things where I had to make a choice that my own peace, my own happiness, and my own joy, so to speak, was more important to me than holding on to a friendship because I didn't align with their principles anymore. And it's one of those things that actually happened to me right in 2020. I was looking at a friend and we didn't agree on certain things, and I respected their opinion, but they didn't necessarily respect mine. And so finally I said, to myself, this is no longer going to work. And I actually talk about this in the book, and that was when I was actually their roommate, and I finally said, enough is enough. And I ended up moving out, and when I made that decision, the energy just started flowing. I mean, I got a major increase in my income. I was moving into my dream apartment, and that was a time when I got even deeper into peace. And so, to answer your question, I think when you are starting to make yourself a priority, there's going to be times where people are not going to see things the way you see them. And I mean, that's happened. Anybody that's ever gone this down the spiritual path, they'll tell you that. I've had to lose friendships, and part of it was, some of it wasn't all over dramatic. Some of it was just, hey, I just grew away from that person because my priorities in life changed. And so it's not always some big, huge thing. Sometimes it's just, hey, I'm making a choice to live differently, and it just doesn't align with the way they're living. And so, yeah.
It's good to be able to. I think what we need to do is be able to say, okay, peace be with that person. I love them from who they are and who are I respect our time we spent together in friendship, etc. Because I have old friends from high school even still, and I don't align with them in a lot of circumstances, but they are my old friends. So I figure I love them for who they are and what they meant to me. And now I actually open the door to new people, new friends, who are more in line with my mindset and on heart set, if you will. And I think if we all did that instead of judging, like you're either this or you're that, I think we then would be in a position where we can then say, okay, how do I find my sovereign mindset? How do I do that work on myself?
Yeah.
So at this point, Jeremy, then when we've been able to do that, if you will, how can we approach the issue of the sovereign mindset and start to do the work?
Yeah, so one of those one of the questions I started asking myself is, well, where have I made other people's priorities more important than mine? I started just asking myself those questions, and so we all know that there's something more in our life. There's whatever that is, to be a mom or a dad or to be a nurse or a doctor or whatever it is, or just to have peace in our lives and not have to deal with other things that don't align with us anymore. So I started asking myself that question, where have I served other people and their interest and their priorities more than I've served myself, what I knew was important to me? And when I started getting those answers, at the beginning, you don't really like the answers. And so it's one of those, so then you have to say, okay, but I love myself and give myself enough grace to understand that I had to learn from those experiences. And so when I started making the different decisions and saying, hey, that's not lo no longer going to be my thing anymore. Well, one of the things I talk about in the book is when I stopped, when I made the decision to stop drinking. And let me tell you, when you go out to a restaurant or a place where they serve alcohol and you say you want water or tea, the looks you get are like, is everything okay? Were you a former alcoholic? I'm like, no, I just made a choice to stop drinking.
You know what? I'm
And
so
so,
glad you brought that up. I'm so glad because 5 years ago, I made a decision on my own and said, I'm not. And I worked in the beverage alcohol industry and did a lot of advertising for a lot of the big, like Bacardi and Stolichnaya and to Jose Cuervo 1800 and so many more. And I just, at a certain point, and I never had an issue, I stopped. And then you get the looks from people like, oh, I'm sorry, you were an alcoholic or something. Like, no, I just decided to change. And then when the first couple of times you go out, you're like, I'm gonna have water or iced tea or whatever. People roll their eyes or think there's something wrong with you. But the good news, I think, Jeremy, is it's changing. What have you
because
found?
I don't have to go out and be with my friends and be drunk or even be a buzzed or and I'm going to tell you what, my creativity went up, my health and energy got better, my clarity of life got better. And I'm not saying this for anybody that does go out and do that. I'm not, we all have, I mean, I had a time in my life that it was a lot of fun. And so, but my priorities changed. And so when your priorities changed and this work, one of the things that I had realized that that 13-year gap happened to be too because I made everything else a priority other than the work that I knew that made me happy. And so, I mean, if we really want to talk about joy and happiness, I mean, that's wonderful. I went out, I went dancing and and I had all this great time and all that kind of stuff. But you know what really makes me happy is sitting here having a deep conversation about how we have make our soul sing and our creativity and have spirit work through us, and that really brings me joy. And so you have to there's the question in the Bible where it says you can't serve two masters. So I can't serve my old life and my new life at the same time. The new life is the present. And so that's where they say you have to live in the now of the moment. And the now of the moment is, this is what makes me happy. Now, when I'm 80 years old, that may change. I've been jokingly say I may want to buy a cabin in Tennessee and, live out in the quiet and, it may change, totally change. But right now, this is where I'm at. And so I think that when we start looking at our lives, and one of the things I see, because a lot of my clients are going through these major shifts. I mean, I have a lot of nurses and doctors. Some of them are saying, I'm just so sick of my profession, which is hard, interesting to hear from, especially from a doctor who spent, 8 to 10, maybe of 11 or 12 years in their education. But they're saying, I loved what I do, and I love serving people. I did this because I wanted to help people, but I feel like I have to make a change. And so imagine the looks that they get when they start making that change and starts becoming a health coach or standing on a stage doing, being a motivational speaker or whatever. I mean, I had one that went in to be a computer engineer. And so because they wanted quiet. And they found that that was just going to be more interesting for them. So I think when we're looking at the sovereign mindset, we have to really get with our authentic state of what is important to us. But I will also tell you that everything you've done up to this point in your life has brought you to this point and what decisions you're making. So I've been a corporate trainer and a learning development specialist and managed training departments for large corporations like HSBC and MetLife and New York Life and all these things. And so I'm grateful for that. And as a result, I also had a podcast for 11 years. And so I was actually a pretty shy kid, growing up. And so without all those experiences, I wouldn't be able to sit here on camera and to be able to talk so authentically about what I feel is important for my life and what I feel is important for could be important for other people's lives. So everything we do leads you up to this point. And so that includes all the partying and the crazy decisions that we've made. And I can guarantee you, I know I've made some crazy decisions. I know people watching and listening have made some crazy decisions, but all those decisions made who you are today. And so those doctors and nurses and everybody else that's in a professional profession that they want to make a change, that's okay. Because those experiences are going to take you into that next chapter. And the sovereign mindset is saying, hey, it's time for me to step forward into this new aspect of who I am. And that's exactly what life is all about. I mean, I love the analogy of the tarot and the 22 cards in the tarot are the major arcana, because what it's saying is that's the cycle of life. You start off in the fool as the fool, and then eventually you get to the death card, and there's an ending of something, and then you inherit the world. And what you inherit the world is because you have this excitement for life, but it's balanced, and you've gone through those sequence. And 22 is in numerology is the mastery, the master builder. So what that tells me is that going through life, making mistakes, growing, failing, and then succeeding is a part of the cycle of life. And so in life, the sovereign mindset is also having grace and knowing, hey, I went through all those to become who I am. The prince eventually becomes the king. The princess eventually becomes the queen of their own life. And so, and they have to go through everything that prepares them to be that.
Now, my special guest once again, Jeremy E. McDonald. The book is Sovereign Mindset, the new one. So you have a background. Your mom was a healer and a shaman. And how was her influence and the teaching of the Lakek,
In
I am you
Lakesh.
and you are me, shape your understanding of soul growth?
Yeah, so my mother was apprenticed in the Mayan tradition, and her teacher lived in Honduras for 10 years and was apprenticed with the shamans, the Mayan shamans, and then he was sent back to the United States to teach people in the United States. And so my mother happened to be one of his students. And so she passed along a lot of his teachings to me as well. And one of them was En Lakesh. And En Lakesh means I am another you, or you are me and I am you. And why that's an important thing to say is that as we're looking at all everybody's differences, as we're looking at everybody and saying, well, they have a different opinion than me, and I have this opinion, realize that they're just another you. And so inside, at the basis of who we all are, we all bleed the same, we all cry the same, and we all are looking for very similar things. We want to leave a legacy behind. We want to make sure that our children, if we have them, have a better world than what we have. And inside, we want to feel a purpose that we want to feel like we've accomplished something and have fulfillment at the end of the day. And really, when you get onto the energetic level, we're all just souls coming here to grow and experience. And so when we think about En Lakesh, even though I might look at somebody and have a boundary and say, hey, you know what, I love them from afar, it doesn't mean I don't realize that inside they're either serving fear or love. And at times I've served fear, and sometimes I fall into that even still today. And then there's sometimes when I'm very much in the flow with love. And that's when those that's that when that moment happens, when things just start to align. And so interesting enough, my mother taught me a lot about energy healing and diving into myself and really good, having those dark nights of the souls and fa facing those that underworld within me. And I listened to it when she was alive, but I didn't really fully get deep into it until after she passed away. Just like many sons, I listened, but kind of went in one ear and out the other. But on the other side, I've been able to hear her. I had what is called a shared death experience after she
What is
passed
that?
away.
What is that?
So a shared death experience is this, is that you actually experience some of the sensation of what a soul feels when they leave the body. And so I didn't know exactly what happened to me when it happened, but I at her memorial, somebody came up to me and said Raymond Moody was going to be in the area a month later, and they said you should go to his workshop. So I did, and I brought up what I experienced, and he told me about the phrase. He said what you had was a shared death experience, and he talked about the phenomenon, told me about a book that he had written about it, and I read it, and
So
sure enough,
what
that's exactly what I had experienced.
so
So
what if you would if you don't mind a little bit about what actually did you experience?
yeah, so the first part was I had the night before she passed away, the hospice nurses had mentioned that, hey, your mom is not going to make it. So if you want to spend the last moments with your mom, you should probably stay tonight. So I spent the night and laid next to her bed and held her hand. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed and laid on the couch. Probably maybe an hour later, time is a little weird on this, but maybe an hour later, I felt the streamers that the nurses had put on the wall, flapping against the wall. And I laughed because, well, later on, there was no fan that would make them do that in the room or any wind or anything like that. And so I felt that, and I really kind of felt that I was talking to her. Well, probably about a half hour later, her assistant, because my mother worked for hospice as well, had come in and I wanted to say goodbye. So she said goodbye, and I kissed my mother on the forehead and said, "Goodbye, Mom. I love you, and I'm going to miss you." So I laid down and went back to sleep, and I had felt my body start to raise up while I was sleeping out of my body. And right about the time I started to come out of my body, somebody had one of the nurses had tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Mr. McDonald, your mother has passed." So I was like, okay. And so I got up and I started, and I still felt kind of just out of my body a little bit. And so I was walking around and I started brushing my teeth, and I'd said, I was in the middle of writing Peace Be Still. So I had said, "Mom, you're not," in my head, "you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to read my book." And I heard her as clear as day, as she was just sitting next to me, and go, "Oh, Jeremy, I taught you most of the things of that book, so I already know what she wrote." And so I was like, okay. So I really could hear her talking to me for about 6 months. I mean, I could still, if I call her in, hear her, but for really strongly about 6 months, I could hear her. And we don't have enough time in the show to tell you about all those experiences, but a week later, we were had her memorial, and the MetLife blimp had flown over her memorial and hovered over her memorial, the entire memorial. Well, why that's significant is I had worked for MetLife, so people had come to me and said, "Did you plan that?" And I was like, "No, I didn't plan that. I don't have that kind of authority." And so, so it was kind of funny, but that the lady that told me about Raymond Moody had come to me and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know that my first grandson was born this morning in Orlando, and that blimp followed me all the way over and stopped here at the memorial." And then she had told me about Dr. Moody, and so the very next day, I'm at the memorial. I was in a shower. All these people were there because it was, family around and stuff like that. And I was in the shower, and my mother's spirit had stepped into my body, and she said, "Jared, this is what heaven feels like." And I had lost all sensation of pain or anxiety, and just all that, the stiffness you get in your body and all that other stuff, that was all gone. And I felt like it was like the drop in an ocean. And not, but I wasn't just the drop in the ocean, I was also the whole ocean. And so I kept on saying, "Mom, we got to give this feeling to everybody. Give this to my this friend and this friend, this." And she said, "They're not ready." And more I tried to push, the basically I lost the feeling, that blissful feeling. And what I realized is my attachment to everybody else had kept me from keeping that feeling. And so that started the journey of, well, what happens? Why is it? Because I always say the shared death experience is great, but it's who I became as a result of that. It's more important. And that's when I had asked her, I said, "Well, why is it that you're here with me? And why did you transition and see I could do more good on the other side than I could with you in life?" And
Amazing.
so,
Amazing. My special guest on Guys, Guys Radio, Jeremy E. McDonald, the new book, Sovereign Mindset. In the book, you talk a lot about procrastination. And I think a lot of people, as they do the self-work and they get ready with projects, they get busy or distracted or whatever. I know for myself, I've had a book proposal 80% done, just sitting there for the past 6 weeks. And I know I can just bang it out, I can finish it up. But for some reason, I'm always finding some other thing to do. And I think a lot of people are doing that. And there's a subconscious reason for that. And you get into that in the book. Could you talk a little bit about procrastination and how people out there can kind of overcome it?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons, but one of the biggest reasons procrastination happens is, one of them is I'm afraid of what's going to happen. There's just a fear of what's next, and it's a self, almost a self-sabotage. And so for me, a lot of it centered around, and I've seen it even in my clients, like if I get this book done, what comes from that? And it's a subconscious thing. And it's also about value. It's about valuing yourself. So I procrastinate on this, and then I have to I avoid whatever comes after that. So like another example of that is my master's degree. I sat on that for 20 years. And so when finally when I got it done, well, what was the reason why I avoided it? Yeah, some people could say I procrastinated because of the hard work and the thesis and all the other kind of stuff. But the real reason is because I didn't value myself enough to feel like I could actually accomplish it. And then why didn't I value myself? Because I didn't think I could measure up to the people I was standing on stages with, the PhDs, the doctors, and the CEOs, and all that other kind of stuff, because I didn't realize. And Lakesh also means that if I'm another you, all these accolades of the world are wonderful. I'm so happy for all of them that I've done and all the ones that everybody else has done. But really, what it comes down to, the sovereign mindset is saying you're a child of the greatest family in the world. And on a spiritual level, you're divine royalty. And so if you look at it from that, from your soul's perspective, this person may be a doctor, but you're a soul that's been around for eons. And so when you look at it, we all know in spiritual world, there's no time and space, but I'm just saying from a third dimensional reality, you're this magnificent being. And so when we minimize ourselves, that procrastination is a fear of success here in the physical world. It's a judgment of who you are and not understanding fully who you are on a spiritual but also physical level. So.
That makes perfect sense. As part of that, kind of the next step is, so once we can kind of get over the procrastination and do the work, then it's about manifesting. And so many people are focused on manifesting, and I have to have the right thought and the right energy and see it as it's already happened and feel the feeling I'm going to feel when it happens. But a lot of people get kind of caught up in the mix, and it doesn't seem to go anyplace except for around and around and around. Now, you've managed to conquer manifestation in numerous instances. For instance, you got your dream apartment and got a lot of things done that you want to get done. Talk to us a little bit about manifestation, Jeremy.
Well, I had somebody tell me this years ago, and I didn't really understand it at the time, but until you've experienced it, abundance. Ask for abundance. And then yes, you can have a sense of clarity about I want this. But here's the key factor. I always look that dream apartment, I looked at it every Saturday for a year. There was a restaurant here, it's a Florida restaurant called Beef O'Brady's. And I would sit at that Beef O'Brady's every Saturday, eat my chicken wings and having a drink and staring at that apartment. And I would look at it and I'd say, that or better. Every single Saturday, it said divine in divine timing and divine order, divine plan, make it easy. Now, what does that or better mean? So my ego and my physical mind, I think that's a fantastic apartment. I love the location. And it was in a small downtown America, a little downtown area. And I have always loved the downtown area of a small town where you could walk, maybe your apartment is above a business
Right.
and you can walk down, you can get coffee or have dinner with your friends and, all that kind of stuff. And so I would see myself walking in the park and, walking in downtown, and they had all kinds of festivals, and I would see myself doing this. And then more importantly, I would feel how it would feel to me. Because I can tell you, we don't attract what we desire. We attract who we are. So I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I deserved to be happy and I deserved to have abundance. I deserved to not have, and not a deserving like it was distant. Like I knew that's who I was. And I knew that those beaming thoughts about me going down there to that, they have a big festival in that area called Chasco, and it's a big parade and all that other kind of stuff. I saw my, it was a Native American festival, and me going down there and watching the powwow and witnessing all that and the smiles on my face. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I deserved that. Not just deserved it, because I already was happy. And so when I started changing and letting go of situations that no longer made me happy, that would cause stress in my life, that was saying to the universe, hey, I no longer deserve to be in these situations. That's letting go of the energies that no longer serve us. And so I lovingly let them go, as we talked about. And so then my energy was clear. And what was I telling the universe? When I say I deserve, I would the energy of the universe saying, you're right, because you actually believe it. You act on it, you live it, you breathe it, because you attract what you are, not what you desire. And so what ends up happening, a lot of people are frustrated with manifestation because they say, ooh, I'd like that Corvette, or I'd like that whatever. And but inside, all their actions and the way they're thinking is not incongruent with what they're asking or what they're wishing for. And their wishes are just wishes. They're not acting on them. They're not doing anything that to say to the universe that that's who I am. And so there is a, and so you start looking at why are these things happening. And when I realized that's the sovereign mindset, is to start saying, hey, this no longer serves me, so I'm going to lovingly let it go. I'm going to walk away, and I'm no longer going to be a participate in whatever it is that this is, because it no longer is a part of my life. And so that's the key to manifestation, is to create a life to live in alignment with who your soul is. And then when you ask for things and you start putting it out there, hey, I'd like this apartment, that or better, make it easy, it happens. And incidentally, one thing about that apartment, there was a 6 month waiting list. And when I finally said I wanted it and put in the application, the very next day, the exact model I wanted came open.
That's
And I
absolutely
went from
amazing.
number 11 on the list down to one.
Now, why do you think? I know that energetically you were in line with it, but what was your reaction at the time, and why do you think it happened?
What I think happened is, at the time, I was in a very toxic roommate situation. Love that person still to this day. I'm no longer in their life, but I realized I could no longer live there, and I said enough is enough in my energy. And I literally started looking for apartments. I literally bought the furniture on a Labor Day sale, and they said, you're probably not going to get this through November, because that was during that time when furniture was moving slow. And I said, that's okay, because I haven't even found a place to live yet. And so. And then I started applying for jobs because I knew I needed to make more money. And so when I started making those actions, first thing was to say, I no longer want to live in this situation anymore. And when I made that commandment, in a sense, then the energy of the universe started moving. And here's the thing, is like I've made some of these, a lot of these commandments. Like I've said, I will no longer be in a situation that makes me feel less than anymore, because I'm not less than. And I will no longer be in friendships or relationships that make me feel like I'm not valued. And vice versa, I don't want somebody to be with me and they don't feel friendship or otherwise, and not feel valued, because there's an ebb and flow to the universe. And so in that situation, when I said enough is enough, this is how I want to live, and this is what I'm expecting, the energy, they just said, okay, ask and you shall receive. And so, say if you have the faith that's in a mustard seed, you say to the mountain, move here to there, and it will move. Well, what is your mountain that you need to command?
Now, going forward, you start to get kind of your inciting incidents, if you will, that things start to happen that you want it to happen. As you continue on your path, what are you adding to it to even make your energy and your creation of the things you want even more powerful in terms of your sovereign mindset?
So one thing I do is that once I make the declaration, I guess is the best way to put it. I always say, in divine timing, divine order, divine plan, make it easy, and then I let it go. Now, every spiritual religion or spiritual faith, every single one of them talks about letting go. And so, but that's the hardest thing for us all to do. And back in the day when I was first learning manifestation, I used to use a pendulum, and I'd be like, is it going to work? Is it going to work? And the spirits were probably like, yes, will you please stop? Put that thing down. And it's kind of like praying and saying, God, I'm not sure if you're hearing me, but I really need this right now. Well, that's energy. It's not that God's saying, I don't want to give it to you. It's saying that, hey, you don't even believe that it's going to happen. Your energy is all over the place. And that's what we call cross-purposing. It's like you got one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. You're not going anywhere. So one of the things you have to do is get your energy in alignment of saying,
Now, that's kind of where I was going. What's a good step for people, the first step for people to take to kind of shift the paradigm so they can move towards their sovereign mindset and get away from the reactive mode that so many people live in? And it's not their fault that we're almost forced to live in a reactive mode in our culture more and more these days. I mean, you were talking about the people in the medical field and even people in teaching where they're giving standards and that's it. You just do what you're told to do, and the creativity has been sucked out of a lot of different professions.
Two things. The biggest one I'm going to say is before you react, pause. When you get into, and one of the things I will tell you, social media is a great way to practice. So I want you to go through Facebook, and when you want to lash out, I mean, I still have these moments. You just pause and you breathe. Do I really want to make this comment back? Now, at the end of the day, you might, but at least you paused and thought about it. And then the second thing I want to say is each day, spend time with yourself. And I call it hanging out with yourself because I've stopped using meditation because it freaks people out. And I just want you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And I want you to ponder your day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I want you to say, where were my opportunities today where I could have been more proactive as opposed to being reactive? The reason why is you're starting to change your mind to be more of the observer and less of the one that's pulled into the drama. And if you don't want to go on social media, watch the 5 o'clock news. It's going to do the same thing. And so when it's happened, when you feel your energy pull out and you want to lash out and jump up in Washington or jump over to Hollywood or what's going on in the world, I want you to pause and breathe. And I want you to think, is this something that I can do anything about other than praying or wishing for happiness and peace for the world? And so what's going to end up happening is it's going to bring your energy back in center in the now of the moment. And then that you'll start that energy will start working in other parts of your life. And then you'll start being more proactive as opposed to being reactive in your energy. Because what happens is our energy jumps out. People always ask me, how to can you teach me how to go out of my body? I'm like, you better learn how to stay in it first. So yeah.
You also in the book, you talk about the difference between, let me see if I get this right, blame and grace, where it's very easy to, and it's part of and parcel to what we're talking about, to point fingers at people and point fingers at situations instead of being graceful about, okay, kind of this too shall pass type of mindset. So can you elaborate a little bit on that, Jeremy?
Yeah, it starts with you, with ourselves. And one of them is we judge ourselves. So you see somebody that's being overly judgmental of other people, I can guarantee you they're judging themselves. So those moments, you're going to have moments where you become reactive, where you jump in and you look back and you're like, man, And those were, instead of judging yourself, just say, I'm going to give myself some grace, and I want to ask yourself the question, what happened there that got me out of balance? And then you process it, and then you look at it and you learn from it. So then when you learn how to do it for yourself, I can guarantee you're going to look at other people differently. And so you might pause for a second and say, hey, Robert, how did that work for you? As opposed to judging you for what you're doing, saying, hey, what was going on in that situation that made you do that or made you have that response? And so instead of judging, now you're just trying to open the energy up so they can look. And so it becomes now a moment where you drop in your heart and you're not only having grace for yourself, but you're having grace for other people. And what ends up happening is we're constantly pointing fingers at, but Spirit told me a long time ago when a judgment is the glue that holds the fabric of the illusion together. In other words, if I judge another person, I'm looking out at you and I'm not looking at what's going on inside of me. And so when I work on myself first, healer, heal thyself, then you can start to work on other people and making those changes in the world.
A lot of wisdom. Jeremy E. McDonald, my special guest, once again, the Sovereign Mindset. So for our audience out there, and there's so much here to absorb and process, what is the best way for them to be able to make a relationship with spirit, which I think is what it's all about anyhow? What's the best way for people to do that? Because so often we feel cut off, and I think the way our culture is driven, if you will, is to keep people cut off. So what can people do to make that connection and continue that connection and deepen that connection with spirit, source, God, whatever you want to call it?
You have to slow down a little bit. You have to have a moment that slows down. And I feel that it starts with here, the inner spirit. And but one of the things I do is every night I sit, I have an apartment that sits out over a lake. And I go on, even if I only have 10 minutes, I go out there and sit and watch that lake and watch the breeze move the water and just take it, just really enjoy the breeze and the air and stuff like that. And I'll also go out to parks and touch the trees and, or just take a moment, sit on my couch and turn off the TV and put my phone in the other room. There's a reason for that because I need to take time for me. And guess what? As you quiet and slow down your life inside, you're going to really connect to the other spirits as well, to the divine, whatever you want to call that. And so it comes from slowing down just for a moment. And what do they say? Stop and smell the roses. But those cliche statements are telling us to take pause and really develop a relationship with the inner voice and hearing those spirits that are trying to communicate with you. If I every once in a while I'll hear my mom say, "You did good, Jer." Or my grandmother, or my great grandmother, or the angels and stuff like that. And when I hear that, it's because I've paused just for a moment to slow down and really ponder. And so that's why, like I mentioned earlier, I don't necessarily call it meditation anymore. Just pause and
I love it. I love
breathe.
it. I love it. Well, great job, Jeremy. Really, you're doing terrific work. Keep at it. And look out for Jeremy's work wherever you are, online, offline, whatever, and get the book, The Sovereign Mindset. Thank you so much, Jeremy McDonald, for being on Guys, Guys Radio.
Thanks, Robert. Really appreciate being here.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, fantastic conversation about the sovereign mindset, if you will, with Jeremy E. McDonald. And he brings a lot of good thoughts to the table about, again, to make a better world, we need to work on ourselves first. And Jeremy has some good, solid advice. That it's not necessarily new, but these are good reminders, and I love the way he packages up his message. And one thing would be, let's not let the noise control our thinking because what happens is we just keep reacting, and reacting is not a helpful way to be. And we're in what's a polarized culture right now. You're either automatically painted on this side or that side, and there's no kind of straddling. There's very few people who are allowed to say, well, I agree with this issue over here, but I agree with this other group on this issue over there. And it's sad because it should be all about our humanity, not about our party affiliations. So this is a time where it's really good to step away from the mass media and to do the work, go inside, look at our shadow selves, do that shadow work, and get through what Jeremy calls the dark night of our soul, and experiencing our path the way we want to experience, instead of being beholden to what others have defined us as, and also what our roles are. I write a lot about this in my column for UK Health Radio's Health Triangle magazine about aging, where we're painted in a certain way based on a chronological age. And as you know, if you've ever gone to a high school reunion, not everybody who shows up at 50 years old looks the same. Where at 17, we might look a little more similar, but people age differently. And a lot of it is based on lifestyle, a lot of it is based on perspective. The point is, don't let society or culture label you and determine your way of thinking. Step back and say, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about myself? What can I do to stay neutral, to witness and get a clearer perspective on what's going on out there, so I can take the best path forward and I can raise my frequency while doing so. And that's what it's all about, folks. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.